You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Well, how are you dealing with evapotranspiration? And you thought this was just a sports talk show. Well, it is mostly. Good afternoon. This is the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN. The last few days of July waning down, and we'll talk about a lot of what happened on this past weekend and an interesting week ahead, a very interesting week ahead. Also on the show today, Rob Gray, Iowa State reporter for the Gazette and Cyclone Fanatic. Plenty to talk with Rob about. Media day having taken place last Friday. Practices underway. Game against Kansas State in Ireland just less than a month away. And a report over the weekend about some budget shortfalls for the Cyclones that the administration anticipates. Also, today, as you might have heard this morning on the Todd Brommelkamp Show, our kickoff, time for football. It's a promotion where you can win locally and nationally, and we'll tell you more about that at the bottom of the hour. I am Mark Dukes with Isaac Alzenga today. Scott Unash taking a couple days off. He'll be back Wednesday, allegedly. And Isaac, you know what evapotranspiration is, don't you?
I don't know for sure, but I think I can probably put the words together and make an educated guess on what it means. Especially when you step outside and kind of feel what we're feeling right now.
It's a word for corn sweat.
Corn sweat, yeah.
Corn sweat.
I know that.
Yeah. And I'm sure many are experiencing, actually much of the country, about 200 million people under an extreme heat alert, top that with the humidity, and this is what we got, at least for a couple of days.
Yeah, hopefully, just got to last till Wednesday. Wednesday, everything will cool off a little bit, feel much nicer.
I never heard evapotranspiration until recently. I lived here all my life.
Yeah, I always
it's humid.
I've heard corn sweat, and that's always what I kind of gone by. I didn't know it had a technical term.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weekend, good one. Avoiding the heat, humidity, besides that?
I did my best to avoid it. I did go to the Colonels yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday afternoon. So that was pretty warm. But, you know, you got some beverages to help cool you off just a little bit there. But apart from that, yeah, we stayed inside for the most part.
I know Spencer was out there Saturday after his trip to the with Todd to the Field of Dreams. A great spot there on Friday.
That was good. It all sounded great. They had some great guests, and you can check out the podcast on that on our website, kgymradio.com, if you want to listen back to that.
Yeah, and we'll hear from Spencer towards the end of the show. He is on from 4 to 6, Spencer on Sports. And one thing I didn't do this weekend, probably because I don't have Netflix, is watch Happy Gilmore 2.
Yeah, I haven't gotten around to it either.
I haven't gotten around to it. If you've seen it, like to weigh in, 319-366-1600. Just a couple reviews. I read, you know, sequels aren't very good usually, right?
Yeah.
Some are. There's been a few. But from what I read, it was okay. Having not seen it yet, I guess I shouldn't make a judgment. But John Daly, the pro golfer, evidently had a nice cameo in it.
Several people I've heard have cameos in there. So, like Eminem, I know he had a cameo in there. There's a couple other famous people. So, yeah, I've heard okay, not the best or anything like that, but it feeds off the first one. It plays into some of those similar tropes. I don't know how you want to call it.
I got to catch it.
Bits, some of the bits.
Yeah, I got to catch it. I really do. Especially to see Daly. Daly would be a classic. Me being a golfer and everything, but again, 319-366-1600. Isaac on this side of the glass. I prefer a text today, but it's an interesting time of year, I think. And again, it's July 28th. The calendar's going to flip to August before we know it. It's summer, obviously. But is summer mostly behind us or mostly ahead of us? I mean, we have training camps open in the NFL. We've got college football practices underway at Iowa State. Going to be camps are going to start this week at Iowa and elsewhere. We've got less than, 60 games left in the baseball season. We're winding down there. But technically speaking, we're only a month into summer. I mean, summer lasts till mid to late September, technically, plus spring and fall. You know, you have your summer days.
But culturally and socially, it's a little, it feels like the timelines are different.
Yeah, we set, those of us in this business, we set our calendars around games, around seasons and whatnot. I'm not sure what to feel. Is it mostly behind us or ahead of us?
I think once...
If summer's important to you.
Yeah, once football really gets started. So I think once week zero hits, then I'll start to feel like, okay, summer's pretty much behind us. Like there will be a couple... I always think there's like a couple weeks of summer of football, and then it's really all fall. And I know that's not technically correct or anything like that, but once week zero hits, I think then it really feel like summer's just about done.
Yeah, I think a lot of us feel that July 4th, everybody feels that, you know, summer's going to disappear, and it usually does. But it's an interesting time of year because of the baseball races. We've got a dandy the next 3 days, Cubs and Brewers, starting a series in Milwaukee tonight. We'll have it 6:05 pregame and 6:40 first pitch, a big, big series. Not an end-all series, but a big series in the NL Central. Trade deadline coming up on Thursday. As you mentioned, football on Thursday, and we'll have it here on KGYM, the Lions and Chargers. See what they have in training camp, or not many started, but it is a football game.
It's a football game, and for some people that will be cause for celebration. I will definitely tune in, at least. I don't know if I'm going to be locked in with a notebook or anything like that, but I'll pay attention a little bit to it. I will say, I don't know about the gym class for the next month, but Spencer's show is going to be very football heavy throughout August. It's going to be a lot of football almost every single week, so get prepared for football talk for lots of your national shows and local shows.
I'm sure Todd Bromkamp much the same, and one of the guests will have I believe next week Phil Steele. I think he is booked for his annual visit, actually, and his book is making the rounds as it usually has, his Bible, so to speak. Always interesting talking to Phil, and we'll let you know more about that appearance as it comes up. Talking about college football, and most of you have heard the Deion Sanders news conference today, and that was good to hear.
Yes,
in my mind.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard, Deion Sanders' doctors and he met the media today, and they revealed a cancerous bladder tumor that was removed. Sanders said he'll return to the sidelines. He made a few jokes about his experience going through that. I suppose if you've ever, you know, experienced something like that, it's no laughing matter. But he found some levity to it. And I've been lukewarm on Deion over the years from some of the things he's said and whatnot. But I think it's good to hear that he's going to, not number one, he's cancer free, and number two, he's going to return to the sidelines, because I don't think there are too many more entertaining figures than Deion Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, whether you like him or dislike him, wherever you fall on that sort of, how you feel about him, college football and college athletics is more interesting, certainly with Deion in it. And I'd certainly hate for him to have to, I would have hated for him to have to stop coaching based off of health decisions rather than merit-based. Like, if he's not a good coach, that's one thing.
Right.
But if it's health decision where he had to step away, I at least want to see him. I just want to see him. Like, I just want to see what he does, because, again, it's more, college athletics is way more interesting. Colorado is way more interesting with him there than they were previously.
I wonder if they'll be as interesting without his sons and without Travis Hunter. I don't know what the expectations are for Colorado this season. Iowa State has to travel to Boulder in October. But it's going to be a little different without his sons.
Absolutely. But he has certainly energized Colorado's fan base where it seemed like they were lacking energy. I mean, you look at the year before he got there. What, they won one game, two games? I can't remember how bad they were, but they were non-existent, completely irrelevant. And again, not that he had massive success that first year, but he put them on the map and made people want to tune in, whether it's for to cheer for or cheer against. And I think if you're Colorado, you're looking at that and you're just hoping that you can keep up some success so you can stay in the national conversation every once in a while, because he is going to have some headlines and it makes your school a little bit more nationally relevant.
Yeah, as he came out of the shoe, what, he went in the first five or six or something like that?
Something like that,
And people were gaga over him, 60 Minutes.
It was the TCU win. The TCU one win was really big because that was after they had lost in the national championship game.
Right out of the shoe, the season opener, yeah.
So that was a big, big win to start the year, and people really got on the hype train for him there.
I'm not sure he's a horrible coach. I'm not saying that. He's just interesting.
Yes.
And I think we need interesting characters in all of sports, particularly college sports. And it was great news today. First and foremost, the cancer diagnosis and result and the fact that he's going to be back on the sidelines. And whether he wins one or 11 games, I think it's going to be – he'll make a headline or two this
season.
People
are going to tune in. And we also hope, obviously, with something that serious, you never know if anything pops up again. So we're also hoping that nothing down the line pops up for him. But for now, he's really healthy and he's going to be coaching. And listening to the press conference, it was, I don't know, it was kind of, I don't want to say remarkable, but he kept a lot of this internal. Like, a lot of it was just kept to himself in a very close circle. Not even like his sons knew. He was focused on Shiloh and Shador making the teams and stuff like that because he didn't want them to be distracted with his health matters. So, again, say what you will about him, but, you know, he does seem like a pretty good guy. Seems like he knows what mentally what to compartmentalize, what's important in his life, and that's family, faith, whatever, you know, he may prioritize as far as that goes. But feels like he prioritizes his family and his faith a lot more than football. And so if he had to step away from the game, I think he would have. But I'm glad he didn't have to.
And I suspect he's going to be a spokesperson for screening and whatnot in some of those efforts. So that'll be good as well. Cyclone Tim weighing in. Happy Monday, Tim. Happy Gilmore, too, was, quote-unquote, okay. It's impossible to top the first one. Some funny parts, some not so funny. I like the cameos. Nicholas had a number of lines. Scotty Scheffler was hilarious. You'll know when you see it. Not an Academy Award-winning show, but funny.
I think I've seen it. Okay. Yeah, okay. As long as you're not expecting the levels of one, it seems like most people are pretty happy with it.
Speaking of Cyclone Tim and the Cyclones and things either funny or not, it's not so funny. A story that came out over the weekend about Iowa State expecting significant shortfalls in bottom line revenue over the next few years, as much as $25 million a year from now until 2031. And we're going to talk to Rob Gray about this in the back half of the hour, but I thought it was significant enough to bring up, not because it was Iowa State and I'm targeting Iowa State, but it's one of, I think, several stories that are going to develop that programs are going to be in trouble. I don't know that college sports is in a great place after the House settlement, and consequently, Iowa State has to do many things. They're going to suspend renovations at Hilton Coliseum. Ticket prices are going to go up. They need $26 million transfer from the ISU Foundation just to balance the budget. They're increasing donation levels. It just doesn't. I don't like it. I mean, and why is that? Did we expect that? I think another component of this is schools not knowing whether collectives are going to be able to be part of the compensation packages for athletes. The House settlement specified $20.5 million for each school. Can the collectives come in above and beyond that for schools to pay whatever they want to athletes? How is Iowa State going to generate enough revenues or make enough cuts to balance this thing? They can't transfer money from the foundation forever to do this. So I think it was somewhat alarming and kind of a, you know, eye-opener for me anyway on the college landscape right now. I think it's very uncertain.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be an Iowa State-specific thing. I know that's just a story we have here locally, but I'm sure there will be stories about schools, especially at non-Big Ten and SEC schools, just based off of TV revenue. I think a lot of those schools may struggle financially just with some of the adjustments to the House settlement. And even with the House settlement afterwards, there's now executive orders from the president concerning NIL and how that operates. I'm not going to pretend to understand, because a lot of times I read that and it goes way over my head, because a lot of it is legal stuff that I'm not going to pretend to understand. But I know that's thrown a wrench into things. It's certainly not great. And not that this would be the end-all, be-all solution, but it still makes the not selling alcohol at their stadiums a little bit confusing, because it just feels like in this era you need to have every dollar you can get, and this you're not leaving $25 million on the table by not doing that, but you're leaving significant amount of money, and not an insignificant amount of money on the table. And so I think eventually that will come up again. I would imagine next time it comes up, maybe it's looked at a little bit more seriously, but I don't think it's not great for college athletics as a whole. If some state schools are really struggling financially with paying their athletic programs.
Well, I agree with you on alcohol sales. It seems to be the thing to do, and many schools have done that. Iowa State has not, except for the club level, where alcohol is available for purchase, I believe. But generally speaking, the general seating does not have access to beer, alcohol, whatever it may be. And as a point of comparison, Iowa generates grosses about $3 million a year on sales at Kinnick Stadium. I say only, $3 million is a lot, but that's a gross number. But every little thing, I think, is going to help schools like Iowa State who are faced with this situation.
Yeah, and then the collective issue... it's interesting because I don't really know a ton about how the WeWill operates. I do know they're going to be working basically in partnership with Iowa State Athletics and their departments there, and they're going to – I don't really know how that works. Hopefully we'll get a little bit more clarity on that, how that works in the future. But collectives, it'll be interesting to see – this year will be interesting to see once we have open resources. Everything's out in the open, and we can see – what market value really is, instead of just these on-three, and no diss to the on-three guys or anything like that, but instead of these on-three guesses or these estimations that on-three has, we can have actual hard numbers, and we can go based off of that and see what the real sort of basis is, and see how much, I don't know, Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State is getting from both the school and maybe the collective side. It'll be really interesting to see once those numbers come out, so we can have an idea of how much it really costs to have a championship level team.
I think while we achieve some clarity with the House settlement in terms of how much each school can spend on athletes and what the $20.5 million, there is still so much gray area with this College Sports Commission, which one of its tasks is to evaluate every payment above $600. Sounds like the IRS to me, but nevertheless, that's one of the tasks. And again, it's unclear whether collectives, NIL collectives, can be part of this. As you mentioned, some schools have absorbed those collectives into the athletic department. How that all works and whatnot, I think some schools will still find a way to get around things. But as of right now, it's a murky path, I think.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately the word is, what is market value? Like, that is the word that everyone's going off of, for especially for the College Sports Commission, is making sure all these NIL deals are around fair market value. And so, but right now, none of us know what fair market value is. And so this first year will be really interesting. I'm thinking back to Spencer's conversation with Iowa Athletic Director Beth Getz, and she said there was a lot of good things because it had some guardrails, but she also agrees there's so much gray right now and so much stuff that has to be ironed out. And so hopefully that gets figured out after this first year. I think this first 3, 4, 5 years of this house settlement is going to be very bumpy as far as where some pitfalls may lie, where, you know, who's getting paid, how that process works. My hope is that it's just a really good building block where they can actually have some firm numbers to have some harder guardrails on, you know, college athletics, and then go from there. But I do think these next 4 or 5 years is going to be more chaos that we've already experienced with the no guardrails NIL over the last other 5 years.
I think Iowa State and the Big 12 and other conferences, a big component of this too is the distribution, the revenue distribution from the college football playoffs. And and the Big 12 believes it's being shortchanged in that regard. The Big 10 is far better off right now, and the SEC is far better off right now. Maybe that needs to come into line a little bit more for the conferences like the Big 12 and ACC.
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's where your football is always going to be the moneymaker. So if that's why you see the Big 12, the ACC pushing for that 5+11 model, because they see the opportunity where they're not locked into just two. And with the 4-4-2-2, I can't remember what it 4-4-2-2-1. I can't remember exactly what the numbers are. Yeah, but with that model, it feels like the Big 12 and ACC will be locked in just having two teams, and it feels like the door will be open for one more, whether that's 5 Big 10 schools, 5 SEC schools, or maybe you have 2, you know, group of 5 schools or group of 6, however you want to phrase it now with the Pac-12. But that's why with the 5+11 model, it feels like the door is just a little bit more open for maybe you get 3 schools in, maybe you get 4 schools in if you're the Big 12 or the ACC. And so that's why they're really, really hoping the SEC holds firm on their belief that the 5+11 model is going to be best for that conference.
Yeah, never ending, right?
Yes.
And we'll talk more about this with Rob Gray. Maybe he can cast a little more light on it, give his opinions on where Iowa State stands, where things are headed in the future. But I thought that story out of the Board of Regents meeting and some other items on the periphery there really kind of raised my eyebrows, and I thought worth discussing a little bit, and appreciate that. 319-366-1600. Right now, let's get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard. And Emil's Hideaway is a classic local American restaurant. Great food, great drinks, great staff. Located on First Avenue East behind Johnson Fitness. Emil's open Monday through Saturday at 4 p.m. On the scoreboard today, the high school sports season has concluded, and 2 Eastern Iowa teams ended it with a bang. Congratulations goes out to Williamsburg, which won its 3rd straight state softball title, and Iowa City High, which won its 1st state baseball crown. Linmar lost a very tough extra-inning contest in the 5A softball championship game. Former Cedar Rapids Colonel Mike Trout reached a career milestone over the weekend as the LA Angels star posted his 1,000th RBI. Trout is 3 homers away from 400 in his injury-plagued career. No Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese, but Sunday's Indiana-Chicago WNBA game drew 19,600 fans at the United Center. And also more Caitlin Clark news. A Texas man, Michael Lewis, has been sentenced to nearly 2.5 years in prison for stalking and harassment charges against Clark. Finally, happy birthday wishes go out today to Dan McCarney, the former Iowa player and coach and Iowa State head football coach, turned 72 today. Happy birthday, Dan. I thought it was interesting that Fever and Sky Game drew. I think a lot of people bought tickets in anticipation of at least Clark, if not Clark and Reese, playing. But that was a victory for the Fever, and Who knows when Clark will be back? That's a story for another day.
Yeah, she was I think part of it was also those. I believe Reese and Clark were both listed as day-to-day before the game, and then the day of the game, that later changed to Clark out indefinitely. And I can't remember what Reese's is labeled now, but that was also a longer-term injury. So hopefully both are back soon, but we'll see what the TV numbers do.
It didn't stop fans for clamoring for Clark's autograph.
Yes, I did see that. Yeah.
That's for sure. Isaac, time for football.
Let's do it.
It's that time again. Time for football. And we've teamed up with Hertin and Stocker Jewelers to give you a chance to win, to celebrate the return of football. Listen each weekday for the football word of the day. When you hear it, enter it at kgymradio.com. for a chance to win a $150 gift card to Hertin and Stocker and a men's Hawkeye watch. Your entry also puts you in a national multi-station contest where you could win $5,000. Today's word of the day is football. So go ahead, go to our website now and get entered. Enter the word football. You'll have more chances during Spencer on Sports at 5:30. Each morning on the Todd Bromekamp Show at 7:30 a.m. and again at 11:30 a.m. See full contest results at kgymradio.com. When we come back, Rob Gray, Iowa State reporter for the Gazette and Cyclone Fanatic, coming up next.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. A heat advisory remains in effect as it's going to be sunny, hot, and very humid. Temperatures will be rising into the low 90s, and with very uncomfortable humidity levels, heat index values will be well into the triple digits for several hours into the afternoon and this evening. Overnight, clouds will be building in, and showers and storms will be approaching from the north. Some storms could be strong, mainly after 1 a.m., with damaging winds and heavy rain. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Hi everyone, Scott Unash for your Neighborhood Quick Star. And this summer, are you ready to climb to the top? Gear up for Quick Star's Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Every sip gets you closer to the summit. Now through August 17th, play each day for free in the Quick Rewards app and score bonus points with every eligible item you grab, like an ice-cold Pepsi, bold Mountain Dew, hydrating Gatorade or Propel, sparkling bubbler, smooth Starbucks, refreshing Pure Leaf, or the high-voltage taste of Rockstar. Grab one of those, pair it with hot food, and earn two bonus plays. And every week, someone's cashing in. Each week, that cash prize climbs by $5,000, stacking higher and higher until one player reaches the top, scoring that ultimate prize of $250,000 cash money. Open your Quick Rewards app and get climbing for a chance to win, because this summer, the view from the top is worth every play. No purchase necessary. See full rules at quickstar.com/sweepstakes. And go ahead and make use of that Quick Rewards app. You can order and take care of payments ahead of time for all of the items you need at your neighborhood Quick Star. The orders can be picked up in store or brought to your car curbside.
You only have 3 months until Windows 10 support ends. We can help. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. Our special Windows 11 evaluation means we'll come to your business, check every computer, and let you know which ones can handle this crucial software upgrade and which ones need to be replaced. With prices and supply chains in continual flux, you'll want to get your company's plan in place ASAP. Go to ncsei.com and click on Windows 11 evaluation to get started.
You know, customer walks in and they're like, geez, everybody's still here, the same people. You love to hear it.
Patrick Eads and Terry Adams with Deary Ford.
It's our 15-year anniversary. We have so many people on the team that have been with us since day one.
That's really kind of what makes it all just come together.
We've been together for quite a while.
You know, it's part of building good relationships. We've had customers that moved away but still continue to do business with us.
The success we've had would not have happened if it was not for our team.
Celebrate the 15th anniversary all month long at Deary Ford, Iowa City.
When we say here for you, we mean it.
Evan Cohen here. Whether you're locking in your home run picks or riding with your favorite golfers this summer, ESPN Bet is your sports book for all the action. Go from checking stats on your favorite teams and players to placing bets in just a few taps. Plus, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet app and sign up with promo code USL to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
we expect our information in real time. U.S. Med carries continuous glucose monitors, which provide real-time readings of blood glucose levels. U.S. Med is an approved provider for Medicare and over 500 private insurers. So call 888-665-0696 today for a free insurance and Medicare benefits check as easy as that's 888-665-0696.
Welcome back to the gym class. July 28th, 2025. Glad you're with us. A reminder on our Time for Football contest, which we just talked about before the break. Go to our website, kgymradio.com, for your chance to enter the information and today's keyword, football. There are more opportunities the rest of this month and into next month. Right now, we want to talk some Iowa State sports with Rob Gray, Iowa State reporter for the Gazette and Cyclone Fanatic. Rob, how's the corn sweat over there in central Iowa?
Oh, I'll tell you what, the sweet corn itself is really good. Shout out to Grand Sweet Corn. Another humidity that I'd like to say Iowa's humidity is second to none, but I've also been in New Orleans and Savannah, Georgia, so second to maybe a few. But, it's been rough out there, so I hope everyone's staying cool, you included, Mark.
Absolutely. Media day for the football team was Friday. Rob, what were your takeaways, generally speaking?
Yeah, I think much like last season, there's a very calm confidence with this group. I think they recognize, and Campbell will say it, Head Coach Matt Campbell will say it ad nauseum, their margin for error is very small. I think that was clear last year when they needed late heroics from Rocco Beck to pull out a game over UCF at Jack Trice Stadium that they were favored by double digits, I think. Number of other close games. I mean, this is how Iowa State football lives, and I think it's how they want to live. Especially, I think, with the running attack making some strides last season, the key guys being back there and Carson Hansen, Abu Sama, and they really like this River Peppers, true freshman, and Dylan Lee was a true freshman last season. So they feel really good about where the offense can be despite losing over 60% of their catches and 65% or something of their touchdowns with Jalen Noel and Jaden Higgins, both with the Houston Texans, of course. And defense, Coach John Haycock said they just flat out weren't nearly as good as they needed to be, and injuries helped explain that, and I even brought that up to him, and he was just like almost like waving his hand. No, we've got to be better no matter what. So the good thing about those injuries, they got a lot of depth now at linebacker, where they had to dig probably into the four deep or certainly into the walk-ons in several occasions last season. But just a team, I think, based on both sides of the ball, both specialists back in terms of kicker and punter, Kyle Conrady and Tyler Perkins. They feel like they should be right there in the mix, top four or five in the Big 12, and it came down to a tiebreaker last season, and we saw them land in the Big 12 title game. Again, no margin for error, but they've got the talent to again be in that conversation this season.
What are your kind of expectations for the wide receiver room? I know you just recently did a profile on Daniel Jackson, but like you said, losing a lot of production there with a couple guys going to the Texans. What are the expectations of that room with Jackson, I know they have a transfer in there as well. So what can fans expect from that position group?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. It's probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest question mark, given how dependent the offense was, passing offense was on Jalen Noel and Jaden Higgins. They feel like they've got the committee to do it. They also feel like the tight end was a room that was hit by injuries a lot last season. We saw a local. Gabe Burkle really come on the last half of the season, make some big catches down the stretch. Ben Bramer was a freshman All-American the year before, was in and out of the lineup, never productive, never healthy last season. He's healthy now. So between the tight ends, the transfers you mentioned, Xavier Townsend played youth ball football with quarterback Rocco Beck, an electric return guy and a guy that's poised to break out. That Iowa State and Chase Sowell from East Carolina has got the size similar to Jaden Higgins. But a lot of guys in that room showed flashes last year. Carson Brown was a walk-on who made some big catches in a key game. But Eskelson, I kind of unheralded the guy, but he made two key third down catches in a big game. And we saw Dominic Overby make some big plays, and he was a big track guy. He's also like 6'4", 6'5". So they feel they've got a lot of guys who can make up that difference. But the difficult part is seeing which guys emerge as one, two, three. And I think that'll take some sorting out. And another reason why I think they'll lean heavily on that run game in the season opener, week zero against Kansas State and Dublin and even South Dakota. And if they can, which is not always easy to do against Iowa, in the Iowa game as well. But they've got other guys too. Eli Green was a 900-yard receiving guy, got banged up, had to have off-season surgery last season, transferred in from North Dakota State. So they're expecting big things from him too. But again, largely unproven guys, as you noted. And it's going to take some time, I think, to determine what those roles are going to be like and just how wide-ranging it's going to be in terms of Rocco Beck's targets.
Mark Dukes, Isaac Alzinga with you today, joined by Rob Gray, talking Iowa State from the Iowa State camp. And, Rob, for the Cyclones to have maybe a top-three defense, is limiting injuries the main thing? I know you sometimes can't control that or anticipate it, but that seemed to be one of the big problems last year. Is that the big key for this defense?
I think it is, because when you look at that defense, they've got a star coming back at each level. You got Dominic Orange. If he can stay on the field consistently and not have to take long breaks, he is one of the best interior defensive linemen in the Big 12. Then you've got linebackers. You know, they lost Caleb Bacon in the second series on special teams in season opener last season. He was emerging as a star of the season before. And lots of guys in that, Will McLaughlin in that mix. And a lot of guys at that position with experience now. And then you got Jeremiah Cooper, all Big 12 guy a couple years ago, big interception guy, really heavy hitter, important in both pass and run defense, and one of the best corners in the league in Jontez Williams. So one of the big things in fall camp is who's going to start opposite Jontez Williams, but also who's going to slide in some of those safety spots. Can the D-line produce pressure? One of the things last season, and it's been a trend since Will McDonald became Iowa State's first ever first-round pick to the New York Jets a few years back, just not getting any pressure on the quarterback. The Cyclones, I think, were better than 7, 88 FBS teams in sacks. That was an issue. The injuries were an issue. I think teams are that, as more teams play that stack scheme, the three down linemen, John Haycutt kind of revolutionized things that way, offenses know how to attack it better too. So I think we'll see them maybe mix it up a little bit more. But yeah, you go back to what you said, Mark. Health's going to be the key, because they were top three total defense, scoring defense in the Big 12 from 2017. And that's a strength since 2017 ended last season in those areas, I think largely because of the injuries. So if they stay healthy, I think they feel they'll be right there again.
I wanted to ask you about the Ireland game. Do you think that could – I keep thinking about it. Could it possibly be, not I won't say a bad thing, but kind of hurt the Cyclones with such an early physical test, and you add in the extended travel, you add in there's no real break for them after said Ireland game. Do you think it could lead to maybe some tired legs early in the year for them? Whereas if they had week zero off where they were playing the K-State game later in the year, maybe you don't have a little extra wear and tear against a power school. Maybe you don't have, tired legs, tired heads from, extended travel or anything like that. Do you think it could maybe lead to some sluggish start, or does the team feel pretty confident that they're going to be able to manage that stuff?
Well, it's a good question, Isaac. It's why when the tailgate tour kicked off, the annual thing where they go from across the state with all the coaches and athletic director, Jamie Pollard, I kind of asked Campbell how they were planning to look at that. And I think that what they're treating it, other than they're moving up the news conference to late in the previous week instead of the Tuesday of game week, they're treating it like a regular game week, even though you're going to get the six-hour time change. We consulted with a lot of NFL coaches. Nick Sirianni with the Eagles, he has a tie with, obviously, via Mountain Union, and just pick their brain on what it was like to play that game and then not have it affect them, A, before, and then, B, right after. And you talk to some college coaches, too, but I think they feel they've come up with a great plan to deal with it. But, again, there's so many dynamics with this game. Kansas State, an arch rival, the league favorite for most people, a hugely important game right away. And what happens when you have to come back and play a top 10 is certainly FCS team in South Dakota the following week. You know, your body's been jumbled up a little bit. But again, 18 to 23-year-olds, I think they can recover from that quickly. But I think the mental part might be even more difficult to tackle than the physical because, again, let's say they don't win that game. Well, then if you talk about margin of error, you're not going to win the Big 12 with more than two losses. And obviously, I say tied. With three teams, I think, with two losses last season, would be a tiebreaker played against, and lost against Arizona State. So it really will put them behind eight ball if they lose that game. But I feel like if they win it, any possible physical offsets or issues will be offset by just how well that advances their ultimate goal as well. So it really has a chance. Coach Campbell said when he talked to college coaches at Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame, a lot of times, you know, those teams don't go on to having a remarkable season. I mean, we saw last year what a Florida State and Georgia Tech. Florida State coming off, of course, a season they thought they should have been in the playoff, and they do nothing, you know, win a couple games. I don't think you can pin that all on the Iowan game, but clearly, as Campbell himself acknowledged, it can have negative effects. So they're doing everything they can to combat that from a scientific standpoint, sports and nutrition standpoint, and I'm sure from working with the guys to not get too wrapped up in the fact that, ooh, it's a big rivalry game and a Big 12 game right off the bat.
Rob, we've gone this long without talking Rocco Becht, and in my mind, one of the top quarterbacks in the country, and certainly in the Big 12. But we know what he's done. We know he's stepped up in some big games and really delivered for this team. I don't know whether he had opportunities or anything to entertain other places, but he is at Iowa State again. Iowa State's glad to have him. What particular areas do you think he's looking at improving upon?
Yeah, well, first, Mark, Rocco had big-time opportunities each of the past two seasons. It's just as sad, I would say. I think people sometimes underestimate fit and being in the ballpark in the NIL basis and how fit can tip the scales, and he feels obviously very comfortable at Iowa State, hugely important figure. Obviously, within the program, has become a huge leader within the program. He fully acknowledges his faults. Like Rocco Becht will tell you that, you know, he's got to be more accurate. He didn't quite hit 60% last season after being around 63, I think, as a redshirt freshman. Too many pick sixes. I mean, I think his pick six rate is something like 25-30% of his interceptions. This is off the top of my head, have been gone the other way for a touchdown, which is somewhat bizarre. But again, we had former All Big 12 quarterback, ironically enough, for Kansas State, and obviously a Western Iowa guy, a prep in Jake Waters, at availability today, and he said he thinks that Rocco Becht's greatest trait is toughness, you know, and I think that he's applying that both in the physical and mental side of things. I mean, we saw Rocco get knocked out of the Big 12 title game. He convinced them to put himself back in, even though they're getting blown out by the Sun Devils. A guy that really cares and a guy that is committed to perfecting his craft the best he can. So he's all over owning the pick six, and he's all over saying, hey, I got to process better. I got to go through my progressions better. So I think we'll see a new and improved Rocco Becht. And I think the newer receivers may challenge him a little bit, and that's why, again, I think offensive line looking like it might be the best it's been in the Campbell era after many years of struggling and showing some real promise last season. They can lean on their run game a little bit. He can really ease in, have a really high efficiency rate, and as we saw down the stretch where he needed to run, he ran very effectively too. So I, again, a guy that, like most good quarterbacks, is going to pick his own game apart, and I think that's what Rocco did in the offseason, and I think that that points to him, you know, taking another step this season up the rungs, you know, in terms of being one of the better quarterbacks around.
I wanted to ask you about this report from the Gazette over the weekend, talking about Iowa State facing a $147 million deficit. What can you tell us about that and maybe what Iowa State has planned to maybe combat some of that deficit in the future? I wonder if alcohol sales may become a topic of discussion once more as they do every single year.
Yeah, I think Jamie Pollard's made it clear that he's diametrically opposed to selling alcohol at Christ Stadium, including the whatever it was he said about fans being, I don't know, you know, And then that's a drop in the bucket of 140 whatever million, right? Obviously, much of that shortfall comes from the $20.5 million annually they're going to expect in that time frame, which may go up, may change how it's structured and all that, because we got House deals, we got executive orders, we got state, we got local, we got all these things that have got to be on the same page. So I think Paul has made no bones about that the state of Iowa has to look at possibly, like many states are doing, funding not just Iowa State's athletic program, but certainly Iowa's, who has their own budget issues or loans and that type of thing. So I don't think the concern is, as Paul had said, again, to me earlier on the tailgate tour, that they got next year covered because they were, in his words, fiscally responsible and they can deal with that. But after that, they've got to find a way to raise that money. They believe the best way to do that is the state recognizing that, hey, the economic engine, as they call it, that Iowa State Athletics is for Central Iowa, the economic engine, the University of Iowa, this for Eastern Iowa, that it's worth investing the amount needed to compete at the Power 5 level. Obviously, Iowa has a built-in advantage with a much better Big Ten TV money and some other things. But every school is going to have to deal with some of this, and we're seeing more states step in and say, hey, we're going to directly aid the schools. I truly believe that's what Pollard feels like is going to have to happen for them to fully get to where they need to be, in facing these shortfalls.
One of the consequences, Rob, Hilton Coliseum renovations paused. Is that indefinitely?
They haven't really addressed it publicly, but I know, of course, the wrestling training facility thing has been indefinitely paused. I would assume that's indefinite, as in they haven't given us a time frame.
Yeah.
Just by definition, that's indefinite. But I think it's just wait and see as far as that goes. I think it's all going to hinge on what Paul had said. Does the state recognize that a certain annual investment in Iowa State athletics reaps much more, many times over, for local businesses and this and that, including in the Des Moines metro area? It's going to hinge on that. But yeah, indefinite, but I guess silver lining, because you always look for silver linings. A lot of people weren't that happy with the way Fog Allen Fieldhouse got renovated. They like the old character, which it still has, but all that. So silver lining, I guess Hilton still retains a lot more of that old character. And Tyrese Halliburton just proposed to former cheerleader we met there, and she accepted at Hilton Coliseum. So, he's fine with the rustic things for now, tongue-in-cheek here. But, definitely indefinite. And like so many things here up in the air in terms of all that money and settlements and all that stuff.
Last one from me, Rob, real quick. As you look at the schedule, aside from Kansas State, aside from Iowa, give me a pivotal game or two. I imagine the Cyclones are anxious to see ASU come November 1st.
Yeah, and I think the road trip to Colorado, that's always a tough game. Altitude's a real thing, even though it's not like you're going into the Andes or something. I mean, it still affects players. I mean, you see it from the NBA too, right? I mean, great home court advantage for the Nuggets when they're good. So that's a big one, I think. I don't know how good Colorado will be. I don't think they'll be much better than last year, which is kind of a middle-of-the-pack team. But you don't know. I mean, you don't know which transfers are going to pop. You don't know all that stuff. And I think, yes, the Arizona State one will be big. I think at TCU will be a sneaky big game. They got a really good quarterback coming back. They got a lot of pieces, and they got a lot of money in Fort Worth. So you know that they've poured in, and they fully expect to be the type of team that can really, move from the middle of the pack to the top of the heap. So I think off the top of my head, those are a couple, but there's a lot of great ones. To have Iowa in week three at Jack Terry Stadium, where they haven't won against the Hawkeyes since, I want to say, 2011. The last couple wins have come at Kinnick Stadium. So it's a much more difficult schedule for the Cyclones this season. So if they can get to that double-digit win plateau that they hadn't done ever until last season, it'll be quite an achievement, because it's definitely a more daunting slate for sure.
Hey, great catching up, Rob. We'll talk soon as we near that game over in Dublin against Kansas State, okay?
All right, sounds great, guys. Great to join you.
You bet. Rob Gray, Iowa State reporter for the Gazette and Cyclone fanatic, joining us here on the Gym Class. Let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll hear from Spencer on Sports and set you up for tomorrow's show after this.
Hi, I'm Stacey Dayball, your branding specialist with KZIA. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, it starts with a conversation and a transformation. I'll sit down with you one-on-one to uncover what makes your business unique and build a strategy that tells your story in a way people remember with our proven transformation system. We don't just advertise, we build your brand, your voice, your future. Let's make your business unforgettable. Schedule your meeting with me today at KZIA.com under the Transformation tab.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Empower. Jen has ordered a decadent seafood tower, king crab legs, lobster tails, and a waterfall of caviar. Pricey? You bet. But Jen worked with Empower on her savings and investment strategy and planned for splurges like these. She got good at money, so she can be a little bad. Ooh, champagne. Empower. Invest well. Live a little. Start today at Empower.com.
Past performance is not indicative of future returns. Investing involves risk. You may lose money. Advisory services are provided for a fee by Empower Advisory Group, LLC, EAGA, a registered investment advisor with the Securities and Exchange Commission. OMG, those shrimps are really jumbo.
Need assistance with door and window projects? The Home Depot can help. From inspiration and materials to ordering and installation, our free Millwork virtual apron service can get you moving and doing. Plus, we speak Spanish too. Our associates can help you tackle complex jobs without you leaving the job site, saving you time and money. Call us at 1-833-HD-APRON or visit homedepot.com/MVA. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Back with you in the gym class, Mark Dukes, Isaac Alzinga, and Spencer Wagon. Fresh off, not fresh off, but recently a trip with Todd up to Field of Dreams website. site.
We just went to their website excellent for 2 hours.
Show, excellent show.
Thank you. Yeah, it was real super fun up there. Great turnout of people. It only got bigger as the day went on. Unfortunately, if you caught SportsCenter on Saturday morning, last half hour of the show, it started raining. Yeah. And Kevin DeGatti actually shared the clip. If any of you follow us, listeners follow us on Facebook, look for 1600 ESPN Cedar Rapids, Iowa City. He made good on his promise. He wanted to play catch with his kids, and he did in the pouring rain in Dyersville. So a little bit wet, but turned out great. Great broadcast on Friday. Looked awesome on Saturday morning, and hoping there will be more opportunities like that. So we're super super happy to be part of that.
Absolutely. Great stuff on the show come up.
Yeah, busy show for a Monday. Track and trade deadline news. Lots of other baseball news to get to throughout the show. We'll have a full count at 5:10. Monday MVP and LVP at 4:30. Best and worst of the weekend. And squeeze in some college football and NFL talk, too, because we have preseason football on Thursday, which is crazy to think about.
Stay tuned. 4 to 6, Spencer on Sports. Thanks, Spencer.
You're welcome.
Tomorrow, we'll have Cal Eldred, former Major League player and coach, talking about trades that have happened, trades that might, the races, everything in that regard. Isaac, thanks so much. We'll talk again tomorrow, right?
Sounds good, yeah.
All right, talk to you then.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt or personal loans? With credit card debt,